first, as I mentioned, a few things I had mentioned, although it's not, we're talking about Torim Derech Eretz, and I had mentioned that Rav Hirsch himself had many machloksim with people who were both to the right of him and to the left of him. There were those who, to the left, the Gemeinde, who felt that you could have a kehila that combined Reform and what was called Orthodox. He was against the Beis Medrash LeRabbanim of Berlin because he considered it to be combining academic studies with Torah, and he felt that was a pirtza and the like. In fact, it's very interesting. The founder of the Beis Medrash LeRabbanim was Azriel Hildesheimer, who was one of the big poskim in Germany, and Rav Hirsch was a misnagi to that institution. But interestingly enough, Rav Azriel Hildesheimer wanted to start a similar maisad in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael. And he felt it would be a way of being makarev people who are very far from the Derech HaTorah. And in Rav Chaim Eiser's letters, Rav Chaim Eiser was really the Gadol Hador in that tekufa. Everyone turned to him. Rav Chaim Eiser had a big, big exchange of letters where he basically begged him not to start at Eretz Yisrael. He says, what you do in Germany is what you do in Germany, and maybe you need it in Germany. Don't bring it here. It's reminiscent of a vort they say b'shem Rav Meir Shapiro. Leinian, that he came with the Ger Rebbe and Rav Kook to America to raise money for the yeshivas in Poland. So at some point, an American rabbi was talking about the need to have closer connection between Europe and America. So he said, how about a rabbinic exchange program where, you know, we'll send you our rabbanim for 6 months and you'll send us your rabbanim for 6 months and we'll have a nice exchange of shtellers. So Meir Shapiro said, you know, we're happy to send you ours, just don't send us any of yours. You know, so he says, you know, keep it in Germany, you don't have to export it to Eretz Yisrael. But anyway, I had mentioned, though, that after Rav Azriel Hildesheimer, you had Rav Avraham Elio Kaplan, a very, very shining star of only 2 years, who died tragically very young, was one of the favorite Talmidim of the Altar of Slobodka. And then you had another great, great Talmud of the Altar of Slobodka, Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, who was a very interesting person. He is considered to be, I'm going to tell you an interesting mindset, he is considered to be a Gadol B'Torah. The Sridi Eish is a very, very choshev and well-regarded sefer Hagam, that he's very makel in many things. But you know, so even if Paiskim here will tell you not to follow the Sridi Eish, but they will, B'derech Klal, speak with a lot of kavod about him. He also had a PhD from a German university, etc. So he was kind of doing everything. And he was the last head of the seminary in Berlin before the Churban. He himself spent the war in the Warsaw Ghetto. In the Warsaw Ghetto, and he was actually elected by, which is a chashuv thing, Warsaw had many chashuv rabbanim. He was elected to be the head of the rabbanim in the Warsaw Ghetto. And many stories are told about his chassadim, like, you know, the ma'aseh, you know, I mean, imagine that you walk in the ghetto and people are just lying, starving on the road. And he would, like, interrupt Shabbos davening and say, you know, it's pikuach nefesh, we have to collect money, we have to take care of this, we have to do it right now, etc. But just to give you a ma'aseh, after the war, he was very tzibrachim. He was offered positions in America and in Eretz Yisrael. He didn't want to take. He had a big pocket of kanoim. He felt that the kanoim would attack him because he was kind of combining different shitas. He felt in Eretz Yisrael they're going to, you know, eat him up alive, which probably was true. So he went to Switzerland, a little obscure shtut in Switzerland, which had a little yeshiva, and he was not even the Rosh Yeshiva there. You know, he was basically in retirement, and people came from over the world to see him. But just to give you an idea of kind of the funny position he found himself is, and actually I mentioned this to Rav Weinbach, and Weinbach told me he was at the Levaya. The Sridi Eish was Nifter, I think after the Brisker. Brisker was Nifter in 1960. Sridi Eish was Nifter 61 or 62, around that Tekufa. And he was originally brought to Kavura, the Sanhedria, the basic verse here, next to a kind of prominent religious Zionist, like Rav Meir Bar Ilan. He was going to be there because he was a Zionist also. He was a Zionist from Switzerland, etc. He was Machshev Rav Kook. He was Machshev Lo Shitas. So at the Levaya itself, Rabbi Cheskel Sarna, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron and the son-in-law of the Altar of Slobodka, came with a bunch of Talmidim, and they said, he's not going to be buried here, he's going to be buried with the Gedalei Torah on either Har HaZeisim or Har HaMenuchos, I don't remember. And they made a mecha at the Levaya itself, and they took the body. They took the body, and they took it to a different kever. They took it near Gedalei Mosalag. He says, maybe he was Berlin, maybe he was the head of the seminary in Berlin, but he is a Talmud of the altar of Slobodka, and we're going to bury him Lefi Chavaydai with the Gedalim of Slobodka. So I believe his kever is next to the altar. Probably his Har HaZeisim is where the altar is buried. So it just gives you an example. You see that, in a sense, his pachad, that he would be torn apart because he was living in different worlds, turned out to be almost literally true. They were fighting over his body at the time of his Misa, in terms of, should he be with the Zionists, or should he be with the Gedalim of Slobodka? And there was Mamash Mah. So I mentioned, Rav Weinbach told me, he remembers it. He says he was at the Levaya, and he remembers it. Yeah.
How did he survive the wars of the ghetto?
Say again?
He
survived through a very interesting reason. Technically, it was Mamash a technical issue of citizenship. He was not a Polish citizen. In fact, how did he get to Warsaw was interesting. And therefore, whatever it is, he had a certain immunity that they wanted to keep. Now, it's still a bit of a mystery why he wasn't killed, because at some point the Germans didn't care about whatever. If you were an American in a concentration camp, they would kill you. It's still not clear what connection he had. Also, there's a very strange letter, an amazing letter. To go back a little bit to 1933, when Hitler became Chancellor of Germany. And he started small, basically. Anti-Semitic gezeiros, no shechita, things like that. Jews can't be lawyers or doctors. Discrimination, but it wasn't murdering people yet. So I saw a letter he wrote with other rabbanim, a letter to Hitler. A letter asking a meeting with Hitler, saying, there actually was a belief that some people had, that Hitler was just anti-Semitic to get votes. Like in America, you gotta be anti-Haredi to get elected to something. And then you'll be normal. And they wrote a letter, Kilo, we know you have to appeal to the lower sentiments in Germany, but we know that you certainly appreciate. And he was Mamish Muvakesh, a meeting with Hitler to try to work things out. And Hitler didn't, as you would guess, Hitler didn't, the letter was never answered. But it shows you a little bit what Chazal say in Maseches Gittin by the Chorban, when Rabbi Yechanan ben Zakkai had a chance to ask for the Mikdash to be spared. Right? As Pasyanis Vespasian said, ask something and I'll give it to you. And he said, Tain li Yavne v'chachameh, give me Yavne, give me the family of Rabban Gamliel, remember, give me the medicine that'll heal Rav Tzadok, with the Gemara in Gittin. So the Gemara Tainas on this, Rav Yosef said years later, that shteit in Pasuk, that when it's an Eden Rizcha, when it's a time of Din, when it's a time of Charainaf, the Chachma is sometimes Nistalek from the Chachamim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will unleash his fury, because Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai could have asked for the Mikdash. Now the Gemara says, well, maybe he thought tafasta meruba, like tafasta, but only with the Emes, Rav Yosef holds, like he lost the Chachma. So you see, I think it maybe came that Indian here, and he didn't risk it to try to negotiate with Hitler, really. Okay. But be this as it may, that's Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg. But now let's go back to Rav Shimshon Fall Hirsch. And we talked last week about many, many things, the fact that he was anti-Zionist, the fact that he was absolutely against any chibur with reform organizationally, even if it would be something like, even if we would get more money for yeshivas, and he felt it's out to chibur l'Russia, it's not shaykh to have a hischabras. Let me just mention one other thing before I get to the main shita, and that is, Rav Hirsch has interesting shitas about Agadita, and they're not unique, because the truth is we can find it in earlier shitas as well. But his shita was that Bederach Klal, Agada Tagufa, this includes Medrash and Agada in the Gemara, is not like Torah Min HaShemayim, meaning to say that Agadata does not have to be Mekubal as absolutely true. It was the shita of individual Gedalim but it was not necessarily part of the Masorah. So according to Rav Hirsch, when you come to Agadatis that don't seem to make sense with Derech HaSeichel, so he says you were not mechuyev to be mekabel in the Zemes. Now, the Emes says, I want to point out that the Maharal already, and even before the Maharal, going back to Rav Haigain and Rav Avram ben Arambam, they say a little different, and I think it could be Rav Hirsch might mean the same thing, although it's not so clear. They kind of like this. This is Maharal, and then earlier Rav Avram ben Arambam and the Rambam. Avada, every single word in Agadata is absolute emes. But emes does not have to be literal emes. Chazal were melabesh, right? They dressed spiritual teachings in mishalim, in metaphors, either because many people would not be capable of understanding the inner meaning, so they made it simpler, or either they made it simpler or they disguised it, and there was two opposite ideas. So the emes is like this. So the Maharal is mechadesh to us that avada, it's emes, but emes doesn't have to be literal emes. There is symbolic emes. And that's an important yesod, because he says the chachamim are communicating spiritual ideas in the levush of mishalim that can sometimes be a guzma or sometimes not be literally understood. Now, Rav Yisrael Salanter himself had that shita as well. And he gave a very interesting, he gave a simple mashal to this. You know, in 19th century Russia, during Rabbi Yisrael's lifetime, during Rav Hirsch's lifetime, Rav Hirsch was in Germany, but in Russia, Jews were confined. Jews could not live anywhere they wanted. There were certain cities that Jews could live in, and this was called the Pale of Settlement. Jews were only allowed to live, in other words, a Jew couldn't even live in Moscow unless he had a special license. They were confined to shtetlach, to villages, and they weren't allowed to go to a lot of cities, etc. And what the Tsar was always doing is the Tsar was always changing it. So one month, you know, you lived here. Next month, the border moved. So Yidden were moving and uprooting, and it was crazy. There were constant changes in the middle of the 19th century. So Yisrael Salanter said the following. Let's imagine a situation where a Tsar ordered 100,000 Jews to move from here to here. And let's imagine you're a journalist who has a creative pen. And you would write in your headline the next day in the newspaper, with a drop of ink, 100,000 people were drowned. In other words, the Tsar signing his right? So, and let's assume 200 years later, somebody finds this newspaper that says, this is Rabbi Yisrael's mashal, that says, a drop of ink drowned 100,000 people. So you're going to say, what Bubba Mises, what type of pen is big enough to have enough ink that could drown 100,000 people? This is ridiculous. This is a superstition. This is a Bubba Mises. But if you understood the background, and you understood that the pshat is the Tsar signed a gezeira that destroyed 100,000 people's lives, you would see what a beautiful expressive lashon it is to say a drop of ink drowned 100,000. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, in Agadata, Chazal sometimes use melitzas in reference even to historical events that we don't always know. That's even history, which is just a metzias. And kal v'chaimer, in yanim of ruchnias, in yanim of avaida, in yanim of midas, right? So that's an important yesod in Agadata. And you see, if you learn the Maharal, which is really the great mafteach in the symbolic lashon of Agadata, you'll see over and over again how the Maharal will teach me that an Agadata is not literal. So for example, Vashti has a tail. And Vashti has a tail. What's the pshat? Did Vashti have a tail? Now, so some would say yes. I'm not arguing it couldn't happen. But the Maharal will say the pshat is a tail is a symbol of something that's weighing you down. And memela, a spiritual tale would just mean that almost a nace, that hagam, that Vashti was an exhibitionist, and she normally didn't mind doing what she was asked to do, and she would normally be misave, but ki'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to be garim that she would die, so Esther would become queen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put something in her, some reluctance to go, that would be ki'ilu she had a tale. Right? Things like that. That's a mahalachin in Agadata anyway. Okay. But Be this it may, with all of these chilukim, the one thing that Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch is most famous for is the shita that is known as Torah im Derech Eretz, as I say, tied, and the notion that within the maskeris of yeshivas to integrate some type of limud echol, secular studies, and to also encourage people to enter into professions, whether it's lawyer, doctor, storekeeper, accountant, or whatever it is. And this was the site of Torah im Derech Eretz. Now, a few basic makudas. First, there are different makairas that people have for this. Rav Hirsch himself talks about it in different ksavim. First is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos itself that seems to say beferish, Yafe Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. But the critical problem is, of course, what do Chazal mean by the word Derech Eretz? A big shaila, not at all pashut. Rabbeinu Tam learns, Derech Eretz is Maisin Tovim, or some say Midos Tovos, like we say in common speech, behave with Derech Eretz. According to that, the Mishnah has nothing to do with bringing in Limud Echol and Talmud Torah. The Mishnah is simply saying that a person who learns Torah has to have good Midos and be Isaac and Maisim Tovim, right? So if you learn that way, then Bichlal, the Mishnah, has no Shaychus to this. However, there are Rishayim that learn that the Musik of Derech Eretz is an Inyan of Parnasa, an Inyan of economic self-sufficiency. The Rambam himself says, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, that a person who is Nitel money from others in order to learn is called the Chilul Hashem. Of course, the Kesev Mishnah is a big Arichat. I think the longest Kesev Mishnah in the Mishnah Torah is the Kesev Mishnah defending Kailulim. but the Rambam seems to say, you don't take money for learning a Torah. And he says, the Chachamim HaRishayim all work, etc. So that's one possible makar. But keep in mind that even if you learn that that's a makar, that's not really a makar for the use of secular chachma. That's simply a makar for the concept of getting a job. What Dr. Lander of Tura used to call Tairu Parnasa. He would say when he started Tura, he says, they weren't into Torah of Derech Eretz, they're into Torah of Parnasa. So at most, Yafa Talmud Torah of Derech Eretz is not an endorsement of Chochmah that you learn from secular sources, but it's a pragmatic idea that people should be able to make a living and not rely on Bitzibor. But there's a second makar that's more controversial, and Rav Hirsch says this in his Perush al HaTorah. That is, Nayach, when Nayach, after the Mabul, blessed Shem and Yefes and cursed Chum, because Chum saw the nakedness of Nayach and didn't cover it up, right? So Orer, right? Orer Kanan. But the Pasuk says, Yafdeli Kim Li Yefes, the Yishkain, the Yalei Shem. This is an important Pasuk. Yafdeli Kim, it's a pun, right? The Eberster should give beauty to Yefes, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem. Now we know that one of Yefes's children is Yavon. So Greece comes from Yefes. We know that Greece is always identified with what you would call the epitomes of secular wisdom. Right? Greece was the source of philosophy, certainly. Greece was the source of science and mathematics, right? The basis of mathematics, Euclid, geometry is Greece, Archimedes, right? The Yesodos. Of course, science has gone beyond it, obviously, but the Yesodos of science and philosophy is Chochmas Yevanis. So Rav Hirsch says the following. Nayach's bracha, which is in the Torah, so the Torah endorses it, so to speak. Nayach's bracha is that Yefes was given the kayach of beauty in the artistic and scientific realm, and Yishkain Bialei Shem means that that beauty should live, should find a makain in the Eihel of Shem. Now Shem is, of course, the ancestor of Avram Avinu. So the ruchniest kayach in the world comes from Shem. That's what we call Semites. Semites actually means B'nei Shem. Right? The science and the chachma of the world, chachma bagayim, is Yefes. Yishkin B'Yolvei Shem says that the Chachma of Yefes should find a dwelling place within the tents of Shem. Now, that's going much more. That type of Hesber is much more than simply saying, get a job. That's saying that there's something intrinsically valuable in learning the Chachmais of the world in terms of even your spiritual understandings. Now, they also bring B'Shem the Gra, such a Shita. Now, the Gra, Avada learned 20 hours a day, but the Gra said, although some people say it's a Ziyuf, so you have to be careful, but it's brought down in the name of the Gra, that any measure of Chachma that you don't know, there's 10 times the measure of Torah that you don't know. Meaning, if you don't know math, you know, then you're missing, you know, 10 times that amount of Torah. Again, some say it was a Ziyaf, but it's Yadua that the Gra himself commissioned some of his Talmidim to translate Euclid into Hebrew. Euclid was in either Greek or a Latin translation. The original was Greek. And he had Talmidim translate a number of books. Now, so, as I indicated a few weeks ago, the MS is, to this day, there's a big, big machlokas. What is Rav Hirsch's Shita? There are three Shitas. What is Torah in Derech Eretz? Shita number one is that Torah in Derech Eretz was never meant to be a lechatchila for anybody. Avada Rav Hirsch's Maida, that the Iker Tachlis of a person is to learn Yaimon Velayla, and to not get involved, you don't have to get involved, etc. And Avada, what the yeshivas were doing in Lita in Poland, is the derech, the highest derech of Avodas Hashem. But Nebuch, Germany was so gefellig, Germany was so yorid, people were so running away from mitzvahs because of the reform movement and everything else, that if you would simply take a guy who's on the verge of becoming a reformed Jew and saying, you got to learn 18 hours a day, it wouldn't be shayach. So we give the person a pshara. You know, you can go to college, you can get a PhD, you can be all these things. So this is the shita, this is what's called the Hirash Shah uptight of Rav Hirsch, that Rav Hirsch was simply dealing with an emergency situation in Germany of people who were on the verge of spiritual assimilation. This is, in the Haredi world, this is the common uptight, because as you know, every Haredi gadol, I mean, our Gedolim are all machshir Rav Hirsch. They will never say anything negative about Rav Hirsch. But his shita is not their shita. So they fanfare by saying, Hirasha. Really, he's mighty to us, but it's a Hirasha. Now, I have to say that most Yekis who are part of the Gemara, they actually resent that implication. And they taina, Rav Hirsch's shita was not a b'diavad. In fact, Rav Chi Yaakov Weinberg, who was kind of an immigrant from the other Shita, held that Rav Hirsch's Shita was a Lechatchila. But within the Lechatchila Mahalach, there are two Mahalachim, right? So you have, once you have Zarasha, then you have two Shitas of what is Lechatchila, what is he talking about? Shita number one is Taira im Derech Eretz equals Taira Parnasa. That his point was, Yidden should not depend on the Tzibor. One should be mishtadel in parnasan. I'll give you a marker for that. Shita number two is the more controversial aspect. That intrinsically, there are spiritual kinyanim that you can get by exposure to the chachma of the world. Now again, Chazal himself says chachma b'gayim tamin, but you have to know what that means. Right? So the question basically is Torah im Derech Eretz an economic program? Or is Torah im Derech Eretz an intellectual program? For example, would Rav Hirsch say, let's say a person could make a living as a garbage collector. Would Rav Hirsch say, and let's assume the living is a good living, you know, whatever is good. Would Rav Hirsch say, you have a heter at some point to go and get a PhD in humanities? If it's only a Parnassa issue, then what's your heter to be mavato all those hours and be exposed to all sorts of things, right? But if there's some type of cultural idea that Shakespeare can help you in Avodas Hashem somehow. Again, now you may ask, why is everybody clearing about Rav Hirsch? Rav Hirsch is not somebody you didn't write. Rav Hirsch wrote hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages, or thousands of pages. L'chaira, he should tell you what Torah im Derech Eretz is. Well, again, you know, he wrote over many, many years. He wrote over 50 years. And it could be at different times. You know, there are different mashmos. At different times he held different things. It is recorded that, you know, he admired German poetry. He admired philosophy. Immanuel Kant was a great German philosopher. I don't know, what did they say? In fact, Rav Yochanan Wasserman happened to know German. You know, one of the deepest books in philosophy is Immanuel Kant's Critique of Pure Reason. It's a very, very deep book, as philosophical books go. So Rav Yochanan, that was Rav Yochanan's bathroom reading. So in the bathroom he would do Immanuel Kant's Critique of Pure Reason in the German. But they say that the Chazon, I don't know how the Chazon Ish got a hold of this, but the Chazon Ish, it was an article that a philosopher wrote in Hebrew that the Chazon Ish had, and the philosopher said, all the philosophy up to Kant is Sheker V'Hevel. So the Chazon Ish just wrote on the side, Ad V'Yad B'Chlav. I don't know how the Chazon Ish saw it, but they say that. He just put a note on the side there. But okay. But these are three sheets. Now this has major implications. As I say, if I hold it's B'Dievet, or Harasha, then Avada, even Rav Hirsch would say that's not the Derech L'Chatchila that a Jew should go. If it's a Parnasa issue, so become a plumber, become an air conditioner repairman. What's the idea of going to college, fancy intellectual degrees? But if Rav Hirsch is taking a more controversial mahalach, that there's a certain enrichment of character that one can get by exposure to the chol, of course, that has to be weighed with the surim of kfira, putting that aside. I mean, even Rav Hirsch, remember, was very makbid not to be Isaac in kfira. Okay, I mean, that's a gavul. But as long as you don't cross that gavul, he held there was some mila, that's a much more controversial issue. I mean, for example, the Chazon Ish, the Brisker Rav, 1,000% would reject that hashkafa legamri. Others might accept it. Rabbi Chaya Yaakov Weinberg, the Sridi Yesh, was makabel that as a certain point. Again, I'm not here to be machriya, and I hope I'm not confusing you too much. I just want you to understand that in the Olam HaTorah itself, there are at least three different ways of interpreting what the sheet of Torah Derech Eretz is. B'dievet Harasha, economics, Harnasa, which, by the way, even within the Haredi world, there's a bit of a hakara that there maybe has to be some emphasis on Harnasa. And the third, which is the most controversial, and that's actually YU. In other words, these go by different names. The Torah and Derech Eretz economic, you can call Torah Parnasa. The Torah in Derech Eretz as cultural enrichment by exposure to the secular is what YU calls Torah Umada. So Torah Umada, Torah Parnasa, are really the two different interpretations of Torah in Derech Eretz. Rav Hirsch, as I say, is a little ambiguous. Now let me tell you a word from the Brisker Rav, though, that's very, very interesting. Because one wouldn't look at the Brisker Rav as any advocate of Torah in Derech Eretz. In fact, it's interesting. The Brisker Rav just, hey, Brisk is tough. You know, I mean, no, rightly so. A Kaila younger man came to the Brisker Rav and said, I got to get a job because there's no food in the house. So the Brisker Rav says, do you have bread? He says, well, I have bread. He says, do you have butter? He says, yeah, we have butter. He says, so what do you mean there's no food in the house? Yeah. If you have bread and butter, you have food in the house. What do you mean? He says you don't go to work because you need fish. That's already, you know, all right, this is the Brisker Rav. But the Brisker Rav says the following vort, Gaval Gadiak. If you remember the last Mishnah in Kedushin, the last Mishnah in Kedushin says, Amar Rabbi Meir, Li'aylam Yalamed Adam Espinai Umnes Nekiyav Akala. A man should teach his son an umnes, a profession, a craft. That's nikia. Nikia means clean, but it probably means honest. And kala, easy. It doesn't take up too much time. Good. It's a chiyuv. Give your child a way to make a living. Now, Vayjeran in the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Nehuroi, Meiniach ani kol umnes shebi'aylam. I would forget about all the umnes in the world. Aini Malame Despini Elataira, or I would teach my son only Torah. So Bapashtas, you seem to have a machlekes, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nurai. Rabbi Meir says, teach your son Umnes. Rabbi Nurai says, forget about Umnes. Torah is the only thing that matters. Right, B'kitcha, that's a machlokes. Problem is, Zakta Briska Rav, the Gemara in Erevin says, Rav Nehurai is Rabbi Meir. They're the same people. In fact, Meir means to enlighten. Nehurai is Aramaic for enlighten. Hey, Bazai, it can't be a machlokes. It's the same person. So how do you fever? So the Briska Rav says very gevaldik. Remember, the Gemara in Brachas, on the pasuk v'yasafta tikonecha, you can gather, if you keep the mitzvahs, you'll be able to gather your grain. So Rabbi Yishmael says in Maseches Brachos that from here we see that Torah gives you a heter of parnasa. That you're allowed to be mavakal Torah to gather your grain. I would have had a havamina v'hagisa v'yayim v'layla, and there's no heter of parnasa. Kamash malan, the Torah gives you a heter of parnasa. Zezak Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, no, hetra parnasa. A person's going to be chayrish b'shas charisha. A person's going to be zareya b'shas zareya. He's going to be kaitzer b'shas kitzira. Torah matahei alei. It's not shayach as a hetra parnasa. And Itaka says an amazing thing. If Yisrael are eisen ritzaynei shel makim, there's a bracha, Malachtan nasis al yedei acherim, and the whole pasuk that you're going to have to gather your grain is talking about Ein Yisrael Eisen Mitzayin Eishel. Now Taisus has the obvious kasha: how can Rav Shimon bar Yochai Zetzai in the pasuk the Asafta Dikonecha, when Am Yisrael is not doing Mitzayin Eishel Makam, the parsha is V'haya Im Shamo Atishmo El Mitzvosai. So he means ice and the ain ice, and they're doing the mitzvahs, but they're not at the highest madrig. So now the emphasis is Rav Shimon bar Yochai knew what he was talking about because it happened to him when he was hiding out in a cave for 12 years from the Romans. So what happened, Taka? The birds brought him meat, and the trees produced fruits, and the water came right by him. He says, "It happened to me. It can happen to anybody." Kind of as another, it happened to anybody. Anybody can live that way. If you don't live that way, you're not machshav the Torah. You're meinichin chayei eilam va'iskim chayisha. Okay. Machlokes in the Gemara. Zot the Gemara zay. Har be'yasu k'Rabbi Yishmael. Many people were taifas the midah of Rabbi Yishmael to have a parnasa for their Torah. The also beyond, they were matzliach. And har be'y tried to do like Rav Shimon bar Yochai. And they were not matzliach. They were not zeicha to the Hashgacha Pratis. They were starved. So here's the diak of the Gra. The Gra says, the Gemara doesn't say, Ein halacha k'Rav Shimon bar Yochai. It just says, Harbe yos. Harbe are the masses, the average person. Meaning, for the average person, for most people, they are mechuyev to be nayeg al pi the hishtadlus of Rabbi Yishmael. But there are yechidei segula in every door who are zoicha to the bracha of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And that's why the Rambam says at the end of Hilchos Shmita V'Yayvel, beautiful Rambam, the Rambam says, every yochid, if you're strong in your emuna, you could be zoicha to be Shevet Levi that gets their parnasam in Hashemayim. Now the key to this actually seems to be, by the way, not only Hasmada in Torah, it seems to be Amunah. It's a complicated issue. In other words, in order to be Zeicha to the Rav Shimon bar Yochai, in order to be Zeicha to the special Siyata Dishmaya of Malachta Nasas Ayidei Acherim, you have to be a Maimon Legamri that it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Schus of Torah. Meaning it's not just, I want to learn so this will happen to me. For care, that's the Harbe. All the people, I mean, after all the people who followed Rav Shimon bar Yochai were doing because they wanted to learn, presumably. But they were not Zeichetim. So now the Briska Rav says, Gevaldik, if you understand that the Gemara is Taifas, the Midah of Rabbi Yishmael for the Rav, and Rav Shimon bar Yochai for Yechidei Segula, we have a Gevaldik Teretz for the Stira in the Mishnah in Kedushin. The first statement of Rabbi Meir is a klaliistic statement. A father is chayav to be melamed espinai umnus nikia v'kala. That is the shita of Rabbi Yishmael. The second statement is referring to his own children. Meiniach ani kol umne shebi aylam ve'eini molamid espini avatayra. That's the midah of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, which is the midah of Yechida. That's why, right? In other words, Rav Nirai doesn't say ha'av chayav lahaniach nikol iskal shebi aylam. That would have been a stira. The chiluk basically is, statement number one is the midah of Rabbi Yishmael that's noyeg for the tzibur. Statement number two is the anhaga for the yachid of Rabbi Shimon Rechazi. The Brisker gives Gavala Gateris based on the Bira Agra, Har Be'yasek Rabbi Yishmael Be'yalso Be'yadam. So it's interesting that the Brisker Rav should be the one that actually says it. Now I'll tell you another hesbra on this from the Chassam Sefer. The Chassam Sefer says the following. And this is also very, very unusual. He says, it's the opposite of Rav Hirsch. Chassam Sefer was earlier. He says, the Machlaikes, Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, is only in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, halt Rabbi Yishmael, you should be Noyeg B'derech Parnasa, because, sounds like Chassam Sefer is a Zionist, because even the physical building up of the land is a Dover Shabikdusha. But in Chutz La'aretz, even Rabbi Yishmael is moded to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that you have to be mocked to everything for Lima HaTzayim. Now, so it's interesting. Our society is kemat, maybe the opposite, right? In Eretz Yisrael, there's less Inyan of Parnasa than Chutz La'aretz. Chassam Sefer says, Pumfakert, he says that Rabbi Yishmael matters Parnasa only in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, you have to learn. Okay. But be it as it may, this is at least a mucker, a hesber, for what you might call the economic model of Tairim Derech Eretz, which Rav Lander called, Dr. Lander called Taira Uparnasa. Right? So we have this big machlekes. Now, as I say, the whole, if you ask, you know, is Tairim Derech Eretz, was it successful? Was it matzliach? Again, how do you measure hatzlacha? It all depends. But did it produce the type of yidden that Rav Hirsch wanted it to produce? And what type of yid did Rav Hirsch want to produce? So, the first thing you got to keep in mind is this. There are people who conclude that Tairim Derech Eretz wasn't around enough years in its pure form to really see what happened. I mean, Rav Hirsch started the Kehillah in like 1860. And it was very small, so it really became big only in the 1880s. And it was destroyed in the Holocaust. It went over to Breuer's in America, but at that point it was already adulterated with other streams. So Masha'en came to yeshivish life in Europe, you know, it was at least from the beginning of the 1800s, and it had precursors before that. So some title like this, some say, well, there's no gedolim were produced from Taira and Derech Eretz. You didn't have gedolei Taira. As I say though, sometimes to produce gedolim, you need like a long time. In other words, it doesn't always happen right away. You need a long time, and some say Tairim Derech Eretz wasn't around longer. Okay. But what we have is one of the most interesting things is we have a letter from Rav Dessler. A letter he wrote to somebody. And it's printed in the Michtav Me'eliyahu. And yeah, I have to know a little bit of Rav Dessler's history. Rav Dessler actually had an interesting and broad personal history. Rav Dessler was a Talmud of Kelim, of Yisrael Salanter's. He was a Talmud of the Talmidim of the Altar of Kelim. His father was a Talmud of the Altar of Kelim, and Rav Dessler's Hashkafa was the Musar Dika Shita of Kelim. But Rav Dessler spent many years in England, and in England he was obviously exposed to Jews, either were not Shomer Mitzvahs, or if they were Shomer Mitzvahs, they had a Torim Derech Eretz Hashkafa. And then he came to Eretz Yisrael, and he was Mashgiach in Panovich. And Bechlal, you know, Rav Dessler is a little controversial. In the yeshiva world today, everybody reads Rav Dessler, but at the time, some of the Bali Musar, some of his Chaverim and Kelim, didn't like his style of shir and shmuz. Because Rav Dessler was the first Bali Musar, who openly incorporated Chassidus and Kabbalah into his shmuz. And so Rav Dessler would talk about Sfas Emes, would talk about Tanya, would bring in Zohar, this wasn't, the traditional Kelimers did not use those things. So, you say Rav Chasko Levenstein, who succeeded Rav Dessler, and they say a lesson, he says, he has a lot of work ahead of him, he has to de-Desslerize Panovich or something. He have to actually use such a lesson and the like. Because Rav Chasko was much more pure Musser. So Rav Dessler had a very interesting, so Rav Dessler was accustomed, he was familiar with many, many shitas in Klal Yisrael. And he was able to kind of analyze them. And this is what he said. He said that Torah and Derech Eretz, in many ways, had a tremendous hatzlacha in the following way. Very little defection. In Europe, particularly between the wars, many, many Jews, many, many frum kids, left the Derech HaTorah. Because the Derech HaTorah, again, it's a similar problem to what we have today to some degree. And that is, if the only model for Avodas Hashem that you give a person is one of learning Yayman Balayla and even living in poverty, and there's nothing else they can do and nothing else they can explore, for many people, such a madrega is not Shayach. And if that's the only definition you have of being a chashuv, a member of the community, then there are going to be defections. There are people who will want secular education. There'll be people who will leave the derech. So Rav Dessler Tainit, the mila of Torah and Derech Eretz is it enabled more people to remain in the Derech HaTorah by giving them the option of secular education, of good economic parnasa and the like. So he Tainit, we're going to see a big chiddush in a moment. He tainas that the mila of Torah Derech Eretz is it protected against assimilation, and it kept people in Yiddishkeit who would otherwise leave Yiddishkeit. That's the mila, and he was makir that the yeshivish Derech had many korbanos. Had many korbanos. If you were a guy like Bialik, who loved to write poetry and whatever it is, but you're in learning in the Lashon, you know. The only way you can be a poet is to go out, you know, leave the yeshiva. Right? There was no makam in the yeshiva for that. Ah. What's the downside? The downside is it couldn't produce gedolim. This is Rav Dessler's shita. Dessler's shita is a shita that is so open to limudei chol. A shita where you do your 2 or 3 hours of gemara a day, whatever it was. Says, is not going to produce godless. Godless requires to be shakua yaimam balayim. And the mela of Dessler Tainet, it's built into Torah and Derech Eretz that you're not going to produce gedolim. Alright, so here's the big, alright, so this makes a lot of sense. But here's Rav Dessler's punch that some people it shocks tremendously. Eibazai, what's better? This is our choice for Klal Yisrael. Do we advocate a derech in which there will be a lot of korbanos, but we produce gedolim? Or do we advocate a derech in which we have fewer korbanos and fewer gedolim? Rav Dessler's chiddush is, it is worthwhile to lose, this is a line, it is worthwhile to lose 1,000 Beinonim in order to get one extra gavur. He quotes a gemara. I mean, the gemara that he quotes is not directly on point, but he uses the lashon. There's a lashon in Chazal that says, "Elef nichnasin lamikra." 1,000 talmidim enter cheder and learn chumash. The echad, and only 1 out of 1,000 yaitzei lahayra becomes a paisek in halacha. So Rav Dessler used that lashon. He's not talking about this lashon to mean that it's worthwhile to lose 1,000 korbanos. And he tainas, because that one gadol, think of Vilna Gaon, right? The Vilna Gaon, you could say, one person, and he didn't even have a yeshiva, and, you know, he didn't have a lot of talmidim. And yet, kemat, all of the Torah in the world today, comes from the talmidim of the Gra, through Volozhin, which had Slobodka, and Mir, and Panovich, and Tels, right? Everything. So you look around at whatever Torah is in the world, Kemat. And this is a Yerusha from that one Gadol who was sitting in Vilna. And if he wouldn't have had his Talmidim, what would have happened? So Rav Dessler's Shita is, that it is so important to produce the gadol, that even if you have a system that has a lot of korbanos. Now, this is a very controversial point, because it comes out this way. And this is a problem that, again, this is a real question that we have. Because in many, many ways, and again, all of you guys are older, most of you guys are married or whatever, so we could be honest, so to speak. Don't report me. But, you know, in many ways, every yeshiva, you know, a Litvish yeshiva system is not going to work for quite a few people. They're more nighted to Bikias, right? It would be much better for them to concentrate on Lachal Lamaisa or even Chumash or Mishnayas. And you're doing things which a lot of people are not getting a lot out of. And yet, for those that are talented and Masmidim, this is how they can achieve a real godless in Torah. Now people say, well, let's have alternative yeshivas. Let's have yeshivas that do more Mishnayos. Let's have yeshivas that do more Chumash. Let's have yeshivas where you only learn Gemara, you know, 1 hour a day or 2 hours a day. Because that way, kids who drop out will have a place to go. But what's the sakana? The sakana is, yeah, kids who will drop out and have a place to go, but you'll also have kids who might have shtagged and become Gedolei Hador, who will go to those places. And they'll just be what they are. They'll just be what they are. So Rav Dessler's Taina, and the Chazon Ish said the same thing later, whenever people came with these different proposals, that the Chazon Ish says, you can't be mevatir on a mechanism that is designed to produce Gedolei Torah, even though how many of us are going to be Gedolei Torah? Not too many. We should all be Zeicher, but this is the issue. So this is a very controversial point. In other words, Rav Dessler was makir, Gevaldi Gechidish. Rav Dessler was makir that the Torah in Derech Eretz Shita will keep more Yidden faithful to Torah. At the same time, he says, it's not kedai if you're going to be mafsik kedai. Of course, it gets more complicated because there's something else the Chazon Ish said, in which he taina yeshivas are not going to produce kedai lam either. They say b'shem the Chazon Ish, who, of course, by the way, the Chazon Ish was not a Talmud of any yeshiva. What yeshiva did the Chazon Ish learn? He didn't learn in any yeshiva at all. Rabbi Yashiv learned 1 week in the yeshiva in Chevron. You know, he didn't like it. Chevron when it was still in Chevron. He came back. But the Chazon Ish said, making a gadol through a yeshiva is like trying to grow an oak tree, planting it under a table. It's kind of a ceiling. Now, okay, that's another issue too. But l'chala pachas, within a yeshiva type of limud, one could vaxize to be a gadol in terms of hovering over a sugya and the like. So this was what was Rav Dessler's big chiddush. Yeah, I'm saying.
So different ages, because from the schools that in Chotzar seem to teach the Melechot to younger children, but they don't encourage like furthering it, like going to university and doing that. So is there sort of a compromise of children we will mix precocious and then we'll tell them to go off it?
Yeah, it could be. In other words, once again, it could very well be that pshara is based on more of a parnasa model, meaning to say, if you don't have a high school education, in America certainly, besides the fact that it's a law, I mean, they could, kids can get, you know, parents can get arrested for it, which also has something to do with it. But the issue is also parnasa. If someone doesn't have a high school education, it's very, very hard to get a job.
They're not following the version per se, they're just saying that...
Well, it depends. They're following maybe the version of Rav Hirsch that was the union of parnasa, but not intrinsic enrichment. No.
You should lock people, just make it even an option for center pitch that people don't choose that or...
No, so here's the problem. So in theory, you might answer, so let's have different types of mostos. But the Chazon Ish and Rav Dessler was afraid of the following. They were afraid of the fact that you don't know ahead of time who's going to be a gadol. When Bachrim start going to yeshiva, you don't know. So if you create the alternative, you know, people are naturally a little bit lazy, so to speak. So you might be attracting to your simplified mason someone who had the courage to become someone very big. So to simply say, well, we'll make the choice, he says, in effect, you would be pre-selecting people. You'd be kind of saying, oh, you're not in the guttle track, right? You go here. And he says, Chazon Ish says, there were kama people who were beinonim as beginners, and we say the Nitziv, Rabbi Chanan, I mean, the Velt says, and they vaxed to be great gedolim. So you don't pre-label somebody that way.
Well, what can you just wait to see if someone fails?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. The truth of the matter is, Lamaisa, I think this, the question becomes, what do you advocate as a shita, and what do you do with an actual problem? I mean, the emphasis is like this. The emphasis is, Rav Shach also sent people to college. I mean, there's no gadol that is, you know, so b'shita that you don't understand that there are going to be individual matzavim where you have to make special pshatim. The only question is, you don't advocate it as a l'chatchila, you don't make it a shita, you don't make it an explicit option, but you should, you know, rest assured that, you know, Rav Aaron Cutler, every gadol b'Yisrael understands that there are individual matzavim that you have to make cheshbonos. But the question is, once you make it an official shita, you might be losing people. But as I say, many people are very horrified by this, because Rav Dessler says, in other words, you're telling me, let's start a yeshiva in which you know ahead of time, I'm just going to make up a number, that 10% are going to go off the derech. And you could have started a yeshiva where nobody would go off the derech. And afal pichay, it's kedai to have korbanos. Now again, Rav Dessler even used the imagery of milchama. He says, sometimes when you make a milchama, you know you're going to have casualties. But in Olam Haba, he says, it's very amazing thought. He says, in Olam Haba, those korbanos who went off the derech because of this yeshiva system have a chelek in why these other people became gedolim. This was their mesiras nefesh for Klal Yisrael. This was their mesiras nefesh. They gave up. I mean, of course, that's not an excuse. Because Shmuel says, why didn't you wear tefillin? He says, because I wanted him to be a gadol. I mean, you can't, you know, you're not going to be able to use that as an excuse. But there is a tzad zechus that because they were part of this system that produced the gadol, so they have a chelek in that person's gadol. So this was Rav Dessler's uptaich of Tairem Derech Ezer. Very, very, you may look at it. I think it's in Chelek Gimel at the end of Michtav Milio. You may look at the letter. Very, very kedai, interesting letter to look at, yeah.
It's not this topic, it's on Rav.
Say again?
It's not this specific.
Yeah.
It's often used on both sides of the coin when it comes to evolution. I've never found what they're quoting. I can never find it actually sort of thing they say.
Yeah, Rav Hirsch did write about evolution. Rav Hirsch lived, of course, shortly after Darwin wrote his books. Rav Hirsch basically says the following. Rav Hirsch basically says, from his perspective, things might be described differently today. He says that the science is inconclusive. He says there's no proof for it at all. But he said theoretically, but Lu Yitzur, even if it could be shown to be true, he felt it was not a stira. He was not advocating evolution, certainly. But he was saying it would not undermine his amuna, because the Yesod HaDvarim is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Bayre Umanik, and the particular Eifanim by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bayre Umanik as Eilam, that's considered to be the Sodos of Maisa Bereshis, and the Pesukim themselves are not Megala, all of the processes. So in Mele, he says it could be Nichlal in Sisrei Torah. So he said that as long as you believe evolution is not random, it's not accidental, it's not something that just happened, as long as you believe it was directed by Hashkacha Pratis, he says, Kamat anything is Shaykh. So he does not endorse it at all, but he just says, you know, it's not gonna shake my Amuna if they were to prove it, because it doesn't tell you, you know, evolution can be Hashkacha, or evolution could be Mikra. As long as it's not mikra, so hashkacha is also a Kodesh Baruch Hu being bayit. How are you going to fend for every pasuk Hashem made? So even today, books are being written about how you fend for the individual pesukim. But you know, you can always. In fact, this was, by the way, this was the same sheet of very chashuv a person. And this sefer is you can't get it anywhere. But Rav Gedalia Nadel. Was a great, great guy. He's not very well known, but he was Rav Chaim Kanevsky's chavrusa for many, many years, and he was regarded in Bnei Brak as one of the gedolim of Bnei Brak. In fact, the Sefer Shaina Halachas, which is Rav Chaim's kitzur of the Mishnah Berurah, if you look, there are two mechaberim. It's Rav Chaim Kanevsky and Rav Gedalia Nadel. They wrote the Sefer they wrote the Sefer together. So one of Rav Gedalia's at a kuntris that one of his talmidim put in, it's called Mitayrase Shel Rav Gedalia, which are his shiurim on Parshas Bereishis, of all things. And you know, he talks about evolution, sure, age of the earth, sure, dinosaurs, yeah. He says the earth could be a billion years and there could be evolution. he says everything is okay, because he says it could fit. I mean, I have to see exactly what he says, but he basically endorses, he says there's no stira at all. And this is not like Slifkin or somebody. I mean, I think Slifkin was not treated totally well either. I don't want to be overly critical of him, but Gedalia Nagel was absolutely a guy nutsu in Kol HaTorah Kula, and he felt that there were makaris that would allow all this. So but you can't get the sefer. The sefer is not, it's not for him set up, but it's the one sefer that nobody could put in chayim. It's one thing, you can put in chayim sfarim from lesser people, but it wouldn't be shayach to. So instead, they just don't. They just don't publish it, but nobody has said anything negative about the sefer. Okay, so next week we'll be mamshich a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about Rav Hirsch's svarim, many of which you know, but talk about the 19 letters and some other things. Okay.